It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted. Wouldn't it be awesome if there was like an investment that like gave you a lot of the stock market, but stability like the bond market? It'd be nice to have, wouldn't it?
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Well, let's talk about an investment that's actually exists, that's out there. These are investments called structured income notes. And they're investments that are issued by banks. We've been using them for quite some time now, close to 10 years. Investments that are set up only by banks. They look and act like a bond where they have a maturity. And they are issued by all various banks that are out there. So the way they're set up and the way they work is that the banks use underlining investments. For example, indexes, most commonly. The S&P 500, which we're very familiar with. They'll use the Russell 2000, which is small company stocks in the United States. The Dow Jones, and so various indexes that we see. That's the most often ones that banks will use, and they will put them together and they will use a couple of indexes. And the ones we're talking about today, these income notes, is they then generate a yield. Now, why are they attractive? Currently, as we speak today, bond portfolios are maybe paying 6 to 7%. Like the portfolios that we're using in the various bonds are paying 6 to 7%.
And that's good, right?
It's very good.
Compared to the last 15 years, that's been...
It's much higher than we've seen pretty much almost my entire career. Maybe when I got into the investment world in the 90s, investments were paying around that. But since then, as we know, interest rates have come down for 30 years until a couple of years ago when inflation went up. And so because inflation went up, one of the benefits now longer term is bonds for now are paying a higher rate of return. Well, these notes pay 2 to 3% a year more than the bonds.
I like that.
Yeah, it's attractive. Now, it's only attractive if they're not too volatile or too aggressive, which in our opinion, they're not. And so we'd like to educate you a little bit more around these. Most commonly, they act like a bond where they go out for 1 or 2 or sometimes 5 years. We don't really see them going out more than 5 years. So it's like buying a bond with a bank. The bank issues it. It has a maturity, and then it will come due in, let's just say, 5 years from today. So we're talking in June of 2024. And if you buy a typical one, it will mature in June of 2029. Now, what's attractive about these is not just this income. It's that they have an element of principal protection. So they're not like FDIC insured like a bank, but they do have an element of principal protection. So let me explain. They work where... Usually, if they go out 5 years, you might have 35 or 40% protection on these investments. Meaning, if you buy them today and then they mature in 5 years, as long as the indexes that we use, the S&P 500 or the Russell 2000 or the Dow Jones, as long as none of them are down more than 35%, let's say, you get your principal back. Even if any one of them are down 10 or 15 or 20, even though they're down, you still get your principal back. So when you wrap this type of protection, the likelihood of that happening is pretty low. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist. There are some really crazy times where it exists, but it makes that attractive enough to consider investing. And that's why we do it. And that's why we want to educate you on it.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk about how these notes actually are structured by banks. And so a lot of when we explain these examples to clients, they ask, okay, well, how does it actually become created? So what these banks do, as you mentioned, the banks issue them out. What they do is they purchase a zero coupon bond. Now, what is a zero coupon bond? It is a bond, like the name sounds, does not pay a coupon, an interest rate.
No interest at all.
Instead, they purchase the bond at a discount to par. For example, 90 cents on the dollar, and then it might mature in 2 or 3 years. They get their dollar at that time. And so what that allows the bank to do is I have $1, 90 cents of that is being used towards this safe investment.
So if you put a dollar into the bond, 90 cents is going towards this particular investment, which is safe.
Yep, exactly right. And that allows them to have that 10 cents per dollar to purchase options. Now, these options are tied to the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, et cetera, like you talked about. Mm-hmm. And that's where, we, you know, in the principal protection, that's where they allow to first generate the yield, 9, 10% per year, along with the principal protection on the back end. And so when you're talking about these examples is, you know, I'm getting my yield along the way. But at the end, as long as those indexes aren't down total over that period of time, 20, 30, 40%, depending on the protection amount, I get all my money back at the end there. And so that's how they're able to construct it. They combine a zero coupon bond with options to create that income stream.
And these options, there's a variety of options that are being used. So some of them are generating this yield, this like approximately 10%, at least as of right now. When we started doing them 8 to 10 years ago, we were getting 7 to 8% because interest rates were a lot lower and bonds were only paying like 4%. So they were paying a lot more in bonds back then, but less than today. So some of the options generate this yield, but then some of the options are used to buy basically like insurance. That's where that principal comes in. That principal protection is because we're buying some options, not we, the banks are buying some options that create the stability. And so when you put this all in a package and the zero coupon bond matures, we know we got some stability there. And then we got the income and then we got the protection.
Yeah, yeah. And so let's look at an example.
Yeah, so an easy, great example that exists today, we just bought this bond for some clients this past month. Bank of America, so lots of banks issue. You name the big bank that exists today, you know, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, International, Barclays in England, various banks across the world, very, very stable banks. This particular one was Bank of America. It matures in 3 years. It's using the S&P 500, which, you know, 500 biggest companies out there. It's using the Russell 2000, which is small company stocks in the United States. And it's also using the NASDAQ 100, which is the big technology companies. So it uses each of these three indexes. When you combine them all together with the crafting, the way that we talked about, Bank of America will pay 10.6% a year. Now they'll pay that 10.6 throughout the time until it matures. One caveat we have to keep in mind, and this happens a lot with these investments, is these investments can also be called by the bank, meaning they could issue your money back ahead of time. So you still get your principal back and you'll get your 10.6 income payment, but for that period of time. They can call it sometimes as early as 3 or 6 months or a year. And sometimes we will see that right in our clients' accounts. We'll buy these really attractive bond structured income notes, and then client gets the money back and then we buy a new one. So there's a bit of work involved in doing these. And then this particular one, so it pays 10.6 tied to those indexes. This particular one has 40% downside protection. As long as the S&P, the Russell 2000, and the NASDAQ 100 don't go down more than 40% at maturity in 3 years, your principal is protected. Now, there's a small percentage chance that that could happen. Historically, those indexes do go down more than 40, but it's not very often.
Yeah, yeah. And so that hopefully gives you a grasp on how they're actually structured and what allows them to pay that and that example. And so I want to talk a little bit about risks, because you alluded to the first one, Ed, of there is some market risk. Now, it's significantly less than stocks, but, you know, they have to mature down less than that principal protection in order for you to get all your money back. And so what we do here at Edge Financial Advisors is we spread out that risk through different maturity dates when we buy them for our clients that feel it's appropriate as part of a broader portfolio. And so we diversify that market risk. And that's really important not to tie our legs in one specific scenario. There's also liquidity risk, right? As you had mentioned, Ed, that it operates namely like a bond in terms of there's a time frame. And so we tell our clients that we purchase them for, we say, expect to hold them until that maturity date. They can be called, as you mentioned, but expect to hold them. That's when you'll receive the most benefit of them. You can sell them earlier, but we have to go out there on the secondary market and try to get a pricing for it and get out in the case of an emergency. So you want to buy them with the expectation I'm going to hold them until maturity. And then the third and final option around risk is probably the most important one. And that is issuer credit risk. You are a creditor to the bank because they're the ones issuing this out. And so what we want to make sure is that we don't buy all notes tied to one specific bank. Because if that bank ends up going under, odds are incredibly low, but not zero, you don't want to have those assets tied to the creditworthiness of the bank. So we'll spread that risk out over typically 3, 4, 5 banks when we purchase them.
Yeah, if you're going to do this on your own, you want to make sure you do the same thing. I will say, you know, the banks that we use and most of the banks that issue these are the biggest, most stable banks in the world. I already named some of them, you know, across the world. And so you want to make sure you purchase these through banks that you think the likelihood of them going under is really, really low. You know, if JP Morgan Chase or Barclays in England or any of these big banks went under, then we, as we tell clients, this is a scenario in the world economy and what's going on, that's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Banks, when 2008 happened and the credit crisis happened, the government came in and restructured how banks are being scrutinized and the stability that banks have. And so that has made it a little bit more stable to own banks and feel comfortable with banks. But that's really the primary biggest risk. It's not a huge risk in our opinion, but it is a risk. And so because everything I explained to you, almost everybody, you know, almost every investment professional we come across, almost every investor, we
10% return.
When we explain this, people are like, well, this like, you know, this seems really, really good. Like, what's the catch? Well, that's probably the biggest risk.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of those misconceptions around these notes. When clients hear them, they're asking these questions.
Misconceptions, things that we hear a lot. Let's role play. You know, James, this sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, right? It's too good to be true. And so, you know, as you look at that example around that 10% yield, you're thinking, well, what's the catch? The catch is those three risks we talked about, right? You want to make sure you diversify your banks, diversify your maturity date, make sure you can hold it. As long as those things are covered, the structure of it allows you to receive that phenomenal benefit. If you ignore those risks, now you're exposing yourself too much. And so we don't want to put all of our money in structured notes. That's where it complements things really, really well.
Well, fine, but it's too complicated.
It is complicated. There's a variety of moving parts here. And that's when we highly encourage those interested in these notes to work with an expert that understands them. If you go to your bank and you just say, I want this, they'll spit out some information for you. You want to make sure you do your homework, in a deep, deep way, or work with an expert.
I don't know. This seems too risky.
Risk is in the eye of the beholder, right? You know, there are risks with this, of course, like any other investment. But again, there's ways to minimize that risk, Ed. And that's the most important piece is having someone that knows how to minimize that.
Yep. And you're right about that. It's a trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's a trade-off. And we personally believe this trade-off is really attractive.
The final note I want to mention here as we're talking through these examples, who are these four income notes, right? It's typically people that have, of course, a need for income. But we've also seen clients that want some form of stability. Income is a level of stability. And they know I'm getting this income stream, whether I need it or not, to provide peace of mind. And that's when we have people that are really intrigued by these type of investments. Yeah. All right. With all that said, let's shift over quickly to Ed's food for thought.
All right. I have a time appropriated piece for you today. I almost feel a little guilty. You know, like I feel guilty because it's just I feel like I have to like give you complicated meals or great things, but I'm going back to the basics here.
I like basics.
It's summertime. And I know everybody's got their own little ways. You know, a lot of people might just buy the hamburgers and make a patty for a hamburger and just put them on the grill. And that's fine. It works, right? Well, I've got a recipe that I think works a little bit better than most. And the reason is because sometimes your hamburger is undercooked, but most of the time it might be a little overcooked. Sometimes people get it right. But this recipe actually helps keep them juicy. So it's a recipe that uses the ground beef, but also it has bread in it, A1 sauce, and garlic, chopped up garlic. It's mixed into the beef before you make the patty, and then you make the patty. And it is amazing. I've been doing this for like, oh, I don't know, at least 15 years. I've been making this recipe. And then there's one ingredient that I mix in there that I'm not going to actually tell you right now. I'm going to just put it in the recipe. So you're going to have to look for the recipe. But as my sister-in-law said, man, your hamburgers are always so good. And I think it's because this one extra ingredient that I put in there. So
Ed's secret sauce, huh?
Yeah, it's not a secret sauce. I don't make a sauce. It's just a regular thing that you'll know. But check out the recipe. Make the hamburgers, let me know what you think. And we are going to do one more podcast. If you've gotten this far, we're going to do one more podcast on structured notes. And so in that one, I'm going to talk about hamburgers as well, but I'm not going to share that right now. So TBD.
Stay tuned. Wonderful. Thanks everyone for watching.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.